How can you achieve and maintain business growth? Harvard Business School Executive Education is now accepting applications for a new program, Driving Profitable Growth. Taking place in Boston from October 25th through the 28th, this program focuses on business expansion and organizational growth strategies that can lead your company into the future. Learn more about this three-day program for senior leaders by visiting hbs.me/growth. That's hbs.me/growth.
Hello there, everyone. We're locked in for episode 8 of Locked on Thunder, presented by the Norman Transcript. I'm your host, Fred Katz. Head to normantranscript.com to get all your Thunder coverage. You can find my blog there, Thunder Road. That's under the sports tab on the site. And today, it's more Kevin Durant. As Russell Westbrook might say, why not? There's so many storylines from this Durant signing. He signed with the Warriors on Monday, recording this Tuesday evening at around 10 p.m., another solo podcast. I'm going to be hitting up all of the Durant storylines on the pod, maybe not all in this one, but throughout the week. And remember, I'm on every day. I'll creepily make it onto your phone every single morning. All you have to do is subscribe on iTunes to Locked on Thunder. It's a stressless process. I imagine it's way less stressful than these past 2 days have been for Thunder fans. That's something I want to discuss, the stress, but not the stress on me or the stress on the fans or the stress on the Thunder, the stress that Durant's decision has put on the NBA as a whole. So I had Jared Dubin on the podcast for the last episode. You can listen to that. It's on the archives. And on that, we both said we didn't think Durant signing with the Warriors would be bad for the league in general. People made that argument with the Heat. That was when LeBron signed there, that it would be bad for the NBA when LeBron made the decision there. And no one would watch when LeBron was there. With LeBron and Wade and Bosch and three future Hall of Famers, they dominate the league and no one would care about the league anymore. Obviously, it went in the opposite direction. The league flourished after the decision. In fact, I think it's fair to say the decision, if you love LeBron for it or you hate him for it, or anywhere in between, the decision may have been mainly responsible for the revival of the NBA. Remember, at the time, the NBA wasn't doing that great. It didn't have the massive TV deal. It didn't have the ratings that these past finals did. It didn't have the owners who wanted to buy franchises like it does now. Mikhail Prokhorov bought the Nets for $200 million in 2010. This year, Forbes valued Brooklyn at $1.7 billion. That's billion with a B. The decision was good for the league. It hyped interest. It brought everything else in. It generated controversy, but it didn't generate scandal, and thus it brought on more interest. Everyone wanted to see Miami lose, and that meant that everyone was watching to see Miami lose. You know, people actually tuned in. And everything spiked in the ensuing years. The ratings, the revenue, the profits, just everything. So getting back to the main point, that was my baseline, the decision. It was my foundation for my theory. It was why I thought the NBA wasn't going to suffer by Kevin Durant going to the Warriors. It was why I said it on the podcast to Jared. The NBA isn't worse with this team in Golden State with Durant. It was the same principle to me when I said it yesterday. Controversy? Check. Scandal? Not present. Viewers were going to follow. Maybe I was wrong, though. I've spoken to a lot of people about this since Durant went west. And these aren't, you know, I'm not talking about random fans or hot takers on Twitter or the ones with the even more steaming takes that are in my mentions or whatever it is. I'm talking about people smarter than me, which is a lot of people. People I respect, people whose opinions mean more than mine do. People who are on the other side of the argument. They think that Durant going to the Thunder or leaving the Thunder, going to the Warriors, isn't good for the league. And that Durant going to the Warriors isn't LeBron going to Miami. That Heat team had won 47 games the year before LeBron got there. It had spacing issues that first year, especially during that first year. It had two of the best wings ever, LeBron and Wade, but those guys' skills contradicted each other a tad. Both LeBron and Wade liked to work with the ball. And it worked. It worked eventually. They went to the finals all 4 years. They won two titles. Obviously, it worked out about as well as it possibly could have. Yeah, they shouldn't have lost to the Mavs in that first year. But in the end, four Eastern Conference titles, two NBA championships, that's pretty good in a four-year span. And it worked out because there was too much talent for it not to. It's one of the most talented teams ever. There's no question it's going to go down as such. It's not a debate. It's postulate. But this Warriors team was better. It won 73 games. Obviously, it's better than the Heat the year before they got LeBron. I mean, that there's no question about that, because this year's Warriors to the Durant narrative is the 2009-2010 Heat to the LeBron narrative. It's the same thing, except this year's Warriors won 26 more games than the 2010 Heat team. but it might be better than the Heat in some of the ensuing years they got LeBron. The Dubs didn't win the title, but it probably was better than some of those Heat teams. And you can't say the Warriors were the best ever without a title. You just can't say it. I wanted to say it. I argued it that it could have happened so many times throughout this season. I thought the Warriors could have been the best team ever, but you can't say it if they didn't win a title, and I'm not going to. But I think you can say they should have been the best team ever, or that they came damn close to being the best team ever. And now you're adding a top three player in the league to the mix. And you know, okay, so Dan Shaughnessy made a point a while back. He took a lot of crap for it. I have the tweet called up. UConn women's basketball beats Mississippi State 98-38 in NCAA tourney. Hate to punish them for being great, but they're killing the women's game. Watch? Question mark. No thanks. People thought that sentiment was sexist when he said it. Others rebutted by saying people watched the 90s Bulls when they won the championship pretty much every year, or the early 2000s Lakers when they won three in a row with Kobe and Shaq, or the Heat, or all these other, you know, the 90s Yankees, or whatever dominant team you want to throw out, teams still watched. But Shaughnessy still stuck to his point. Now I see a lot of those same people who criticize Shaughnessy making similar points about the Warriors. I actually didn't think that Shaughnessy did that much wrong with his tweet. I think his intentions were from the right place. I personally enjoy women's basketball. I watch the WNBA. I'm from New York. I root for the Liberty. I like watching WNBA. I watch it every summer. It gives me a nice basketball pang when there's no NBA on or when there's no college on or whatever it is. But I rarely watch women's college basketball. And it's not just because it overlaps with the NBA season, so it's less convenient for me to watch than when I'm watching WNBA games in the middle of the summer. It's because the outcomes of the season, honestly, in a lot of the tournament games, they seem predetermined. The games aren't close, you know, 93-38 or whatever that Shaughnessy tweet said. So after these conversations that I've had with people in the league and people who know more than I do, I'll concede maybe I was wrong. Maybe it will end up being bad for the league that Durant went to the Warriors. I'm not convinced of it yet, but I'm more open to it. Maybe if the Warriors win the next three titles, it'll be bad. But that's only if it's not close, which is certainly possible. It's absolutely possible. But boy, if LeBron somehow does it again next year, you can bet people are going to end up tuning in. Let's get to some Twitter questions because we have a couple here and there's so many storylines, things that we can address. First one is from @WorthLambert. Shouldn't we go all in? I assume we is the Thunder. Shouldn't we go all in for Russell Westbrook, like we went all in for Durant? Have an entire season to convince him to stay. So with Durant gone, the immediate question becomes: what are the Thunder about to do with Westbrook? I have a column that's up on normantranscript.com. It's under the sports tab. You can check out Thunder Road or check the sports section and see that piece. First things first, the Thunder shouldn't immediately trade Westbrook just because Durant isn't there. I think that's a prevailing opinion that some people have, and I think it's dead wrong. You win a championship with a star player, and the Thunder already have a star player. You break it down if you don't have your star player, if you're trading mediocrity. This Thunder roster is pretty good still. I mean, this is a playoff roster. This is a team that could be top six in the Western Conference next year, and it wouldn't be at all surprising. Top five in the Western Conference, it wouldn't be surprising. Isn't this roster still better than Portland's from last year that won 44 games and got a five seed in the West? I don't see why not. That seems totally plausible to me. Especially if Russ comes out and has the season I think a lot of are rightfully expecting him to have. In a contract year, playing by himself, stepping up with the pressure of Durant leaving, it being his team. I think that's something that's a reasonable expectation for Russell Westbrook. At the same time, if Russell Westbrook gives you an indication that he's going to leave or he doesn't necessarily want to commit, then that's something the Thunder have to consider doing. They have to consider trading Westbrook, and it's sad. It is sad to see a team that, a core that could have been so great, you know, Harden, Ibaka, Durant, and Westbrook. It's sad just to see one guy left as a basketball fan. You want to see great talent succeed. It's more fun. The NBA is more fun when great talent succeeds. And that's what we want as fans, just as a basketball fan in general. You just want to see the league be more fun. It's more fun when talent succeeds. Now all of a sudden that core is broken up. It's just Russ left. But at the same time, you can't have Durant leave in 2016, Russ leave in 2017, and get nothing back for either of those guys. So if Westbrook gives you some indication that he's going to go, I think you have to trade him. You can get great pieces for him, obviously. I think there are some teams in the league that think he's going to the Lakers, whether that's right or wrong. That could affect his trade value to some degree, just because if teams believe it, then they're not going to necessarily want to give up as much if they think he's a one-year rental. But at the same time, you can get a whole lot for Russell Westbrook. I mean, we're talking about a top five or six player. You can get so much for him. You can go to the Lakers. You can talk to them about Brandon Ingram and D'Angelo Russell and bring over those two guys to play with Adams and Kanter and Oladipo and Roberson and Sabonis. What's already a really young core that has talent. I mean, Adams is going to get a max contract next year, and he's 22. There's talent on this roster already. You can talk to Milwaukee about some of their young pieces. I doubt they're going to part with Giannis Antetokounmpo, but you can talk to them about Jabari Parker. You can talk to them about other people. You can talk to Minnesota, bring up Chris Dunn's name. Sam Presti would ask about Andrew Wiggins if he made that call, I'll tell you that much. He would certainly ask about Andrew Wiggins. You can go to Boston. You can go to Boston and talk about the Nets draft picks or Jay Crowder, who's still got 4 years left on a $7 million a year deal, which in this market, I mean, that's less than Cole Aldridge just got per year. There are deals you can make for Russell Westbrook to bring back a lot of talent, but don't go shopping until you're certain that it's worth the risk of trading him. It's a tough risk to weigh because you don't want him walking. But at the same time, I don't think that you need to play it the same way you played with Durant. Last year was a championship caliber team. That's a team you ride out, and even if Durant ends up leaving, you think, you know what? At least the Thunder made a run at a title. That was a championship caliber team. When you have a chance, you go for it. This year is a playoff caliber roster, no question, but it's not one of the top rosters in the league, and you would struggle to figure out how they could beat Cleveland if they somehow got there, or Golden State in the playoffs, or even really the Clippers or San Antonio at this point. So you have to get pieces back for Russ if the situation presents itself in which he's not going to return. Second and final question from @HoopsOutsider. Very solid handle. Wait, who's the small forward for next season? It's probably going to be Andre Roberson with the way the roster holds up. The problem with the way that Durant sweepstakes went wasn't just how he left. It was when he left. There aren't that many really good free agents left on the market. There are guys the Thunder can go over. They can bring back Waiters. They can make an offer to Allen Crabbe. They can make an offer to Mo Harkless. Some of these guys are restricted. That obviously presents issues. If they make a big offer to someone like, say, Crabbe, who is going to get a lot of money, who's going to get upwards, well upwards of $10 million a year with the way that the market is dictating right now. If they make that offer, they have to be prepared for Portland to match it and bring him back. So they're in a little bit of a pickle. My conservative guess is that their roster on opening night is going to look pretty similar to where it is right now. They're going to sign someone. They're going to get somebody else because they're way, way, way under the cap. They're about $20 million under the cap right now. And they can bring back guys. Even if they bring back Waiters, they're going to be under the cap. They can bring in guys. They're going to. But right now I'm going to say Andre Roberson is going to start at the small forward position. I think you can start Kanter and Adams at the three and at the 4 and 5. You can start Ilyasova at the 4 with Adams. But I think now I had originally thought that Oladipo was going to come off the bench because I figured Roberson at the 2, Durant at the 3. Obviously, things have changed now. So I figure they end up going with Westbrook, Oladipo, Roberson, Ilyasova, Adams. Wouldn't surprise me if Kanter went in there instead of Ilyasova as well. Although I think that would be worse for spacing offensively. If you're going to have Russ and Oladipo, you want to open up the floor, at least somewhat, to allow for driving lanes. Neither of those guys are really shooters. And Roberson's not a shooter either. I think you need that extra shooting from Ilyasova, and you can play matchups with Kanter at the 4. Again, this roster is not complete. There are going to be other guys. We don't know how impactful those guys are because we don't know who they're going to be. But there are going to be other guys, so that's subject to change too. Before we go, I just want to get some shout-outs in, just some stuff from around the web that you can read if you're looking for more good coverage of the Durant situation. All this you can just Google it, search it on, search for the writer on Twitter, whatever it is. Howard Beck at Bleacher Report wrote on Durant and his on-court relationship with Russell Westbrook. I think that's worth a read. Chris Mannix at The Vertical, he wrote on what's to come of Westbrook. I think that's also worth a read. I think if you're only going to read one piece, and this one's super long, so if you read this one, it's like reading five, but it was excellent. Royce Young, ESPN, friend of the show. You know, from now on, I'm exclusively calling Royce friend of the show. He's a very friend of the show type of guy. Anyway, Royce, he wrote just a really ridiculously well-reported piece. The detail is unbelievable on KD, on his decision, on what led up to it. I mean, he was describing the details of what the meetings with the players were like, with the meetings with Westbrook and Nick Collison, and what, you know, he was listening to on his iPod when he went for a run on the beach before his meeting with the Heat. I mean, it is a ridiculously well-reported piece and very much worth a read if you're a Thunder fan at all. I'm sure there are more out there that I'm forgetting about. Some of the local blog stuff I think has been really good also, especially the fan perspective type stuff, the kind of stuff that, you know, someone like me is not going to do, but which I think absolutely has a place in, and some of that stuff has been really good. And it's really good for someone like me to read just because I'm still new to the community. And I think it's really helpful from my perspective. Before we head out, remember to head to iTunes and subscribe to the podcast. If you have questions or comments, email lockedonthunder@gmail.com. You can find me on Twitter @FredKatz, FREDKATZ, and log on to normantranscript.com for all of your Thunder needs. Check out the Thunder Road to follow Durant coverage and what's next for the Thunder there. That's going to do it for today. Until next time, Locked On Thunder is locking up.